Thank you, Elvira. It's a pleasure to be here this morning to have a chance to discuss this important topic. I have to say that Elvira's request to me to make a presentation on this came as a bit of a surprise, and it required me to do a fair amount of study and to consult with a lot of my colleagues, which is a very good thing. And this is just expanding my perspective even more. So this is a really good thing. Let's see. One of the things that came up immediately when I started discussing the Paris Declaration and the AAA with my colleagues was the misunderstandings that there are in some quarters that ownership is the same as just give all the money to the countries and let them just do what they need to with it. That's not what ownership really is. One of the things that we have learned about ownership, even with a very, very carefully selected group of countries, those that received the Millennium Challenge Corporation compacts, it doesn't always work to just give them a chunk of funds and let them run. There's often a need for additional inputs, additional support, technical assistance. Every country needs something different, and every sector is different, and every plan is different. There's often a need for donors to also support the countries in taking ownership and running with it. This is the outline of what I'm going to do. Unfortunately, I don't have this to show you again repeatedly, but these are the things that I'm planning to cover. You already saw this slide once this morning. It's among my favorites, which is why I included it. But since we've already had it, we'll move on.
We all like pyramids.
Yeah, yeah. I like diagrams. I'm a very visual person, so that helps me. The Declaration, of course, is based on a few simple ideas. The idea that effective aid and development are very much mutual responsibilities. One of the important premises for the U.S. is that partner countries honor their commitments to reform and upgrade their systems. This is so that we can all use them and rely on them, and they will be there and sustainable for continued development. One of the things that I think is very important about ownership is that donors look for mutually agreed areas for assistance. The countries have their development plan, and it's their plan. It's not our plan. We have our own priorities and approaches, which for most of the bilateral donors are provided to us by our legislatures representing our countries and our people. And we need to find, and there is almost always, an overlap between what the country wants to do and what we are being told we should be doing in our foreign assistance programs. And in that way, therefore, of course, imposing our own priorities is not appropriate. An example of progress in ownership, I think, comes from the pilot program which my office is working on to develop U.S. government-wide, all government, country assistance strategies for our foreign assistance. And when you sit down and try to look at U.S. government-wide assistance, all sectors, all modalities, everything, you immediately need to start in a country with looking at what is their development plan? How is what we are planning to do? How can it fit? Where are the mutual areas for action? So, and that is a pilot that's going on now. It was started in June. We're piloting in 10 countries and one regional program at this point. And the idea is that eventually, as part of foreign assistance reform, there will be country assistance strategies to guide U.S. Assistance for every country where we are working. And we are working in about 150 or 160 countries. I think I've been forgetting to change the slides. Oh, here we are. One of the things that I did in preparing was to go back and look very carefully in the Paris Declaration and again in the Accra Action Agenda to see to look at the commitments of partner countries and commitments of donors. And what's I found some very interesting things. These are direct quotes. I clipped and pasted. Thank you very much for your website where I was able to do this. If you look at the Paris Declaration, you see very substantive language about the commitments of the partner countries to exercise, with respect to ownership, to exercise leadership, to translate strategies into programs, and to take the lead in coordinating aid in their countries. If you look at the donor commitments, there's not a lot of language, which simply illustrates that the ownership principle is primarily a partner country responsibility, although these are not trivial commitments to respect their leadership and to help strengthen the capacity. In the health sector, my observation is that helping to strengthen country capacities is where the donors are involved in the ownership principle. Things that we often do is help health ministers develop five-year plans, which then feed into overall development plans. We help them improve their policies. We help them with their health information systems and their management information systems, which let them track what's going on. And if you can't track it, you don't know where you are. Looking at the Accra Action Agenda, I found something much different. This is a list of the categories. The language is much, much longer, but I thought it was much too much to present in a slide. The thing that was interesting about the language of the Accra Action Agenda is that you find the words jointly and work together repeatedly in the detail for these aspects of the ownership principle. In reading, the contrast was really stark, despite it's only been 3 years that we've been working on the three, but it really, the actions for the ownership principle really come across as very much interdependent at this point, coming out of the Accra meeting. And this is not symbolic. This is very much real and based, as I understand it, although I was not personally involved in the negotiations, on the very dynamic participation of the partner countries in the negotiations. They were described to me as well-organized and tenacious. So, it really comes out when you look at this language. The indicator is it seems very simple when you write down those five words. But when you start trying to measure it, I understand it's pretty difficult. And I also understand that the partner countries are not real crazy about this indicator because it relies on external assessments that they don't commission. So it's not as easy to measure as some other things, which, of course, in health we find difficult. Henrietta Fore, of course, who is the administrator of USAID and simultaneously the director of U.S. Foreign Assistance, and the office that I work in, did give a speech for the American Committee on Voluntary Foreign Assistance, which apparently I have typed wrong, just a few days after Accra that I thought you might be interested in. Yeah, it's ACVFA. Anyway, sorry. I thought you would be interested in her statement that the thrust of the Accra agreement is to increase democratic ownership and put the host countries in the driver's seat. I thought I would bring to you the U.S. statement about ownership at the Accra meeting, which talks about transferring management, developing partner capabilities, which I think is one of the health sector's strong suits, strengthening the voice of partners, and the listening by donors. As Jade alluded to, engaging citizens, civil society, the parliament, everybody, and, of course, streamlining and harmonizing. I, of course, work all day, every day on foreign assistance reform. So one of the things I thought about was how is it that what we're doing in reforming foreign assistance overall, how does it strengthen this ownership principle? The foreign assistance framework, which I didn't bring a picture of, I'm sorry, but it's a chart with columns for the foreign assistance objectives, peace and security, economic growth. I can do this, economic growth, investing in people, which includes health, education, and welfare, democracy, and humanitarian assistance. And then there are rows for each of the country categories. That framework recognizes that different countries are in different situations, and therefore how we want to conduct foreign assistance differs. And this is influenced by the strength with which the countries can take ownership. I already talked about the country assistance strategies. We also do operational plans. I know most of you have probably heard of this, which is, it started out modeled on what is done for PEPFAR. This has been considerably streamlined, shortened, but the idea is to avoid some of the situations that Jay was talking about, where you might have the Department of Labor doing an education project and USAID doing another education project, which theoretically could be operating at cross purposes or not aimed at the same goal. By doing the USG-wide operational plan, at the very least, we currently have all of USAID and all of states' activities in the same budget against the same set of categories, and we can identify where these things are. In the future, we'll be trying to at least identify and report on the other departments, like the Department of Labor and like HHS, over which the Secretary of State doesn't have any authority, but to be able to look at it and see what we've got and have descriptions of the programs all together will help us. So I think that will be an improvement. I wanted to talk a little bit about how donors can and do strengthen partner capabilities. And I've given some examples here, most of which I think I've already talked about. And what do I see as the challenges for the future? Pursuing commonalities. I talked about that before. There are country priorities. There are very specific congressional and administration priorities. And as we all know, this is especially true in health. And working on systems for health so that we will be able to rely on them in the future is another important thing that we can do. Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much, Carol.